This is Side Podcast episode 71. You know things are bad when it all rests on PK. Coming up in this show, we catch up with all the news from the 5 minutes since we last did a show. We talk about the Hockenheim race and catch up with fantasy racers.
Can I have a bit of sympathy?
No.
Please.
No.
I have a sporting related injury.
Really?
You know how you hurt your neck earlier in the year?
I do.
By sleeping.
It was painful.
And I did take the mickey.
Well, yeah, I was just sleeping.
I do have something to match that and possibly beat it.
What about Massa in a lift?
No, it won't beat Massa sneezing in a lift. No, not that. Yesterday, after qualifying, I pulled my back out.
Right.
I pulled a muscle.
What were you doing?
Well, let me tell you what's wrong first to get the sympathy up.
Right.
I've pulled a muscle in the back of, somewhere, the back of my ribs. It's left me short of breath, and doing this podcast is really, really tough for me, by the way.
You're in pain.
Yeah.
Did you get the violins out?
Yeah. Live commenting was a bit tough today. I thought I did quite well.
You just sat down.
Yeah, but it even hurts to, you know, breathing hurts right now.
Right.
I did it by trying to swat a fly. Thanks. Yeah, the whole sympathy's just gone now, isn't it? It's washed away.
You built it up, and then you knocked it down.
Yeah, it's going to be a short show, because I can't breathe and it hurts. And I'm very sorry, because the race deserves more from me. But it's the best I've got right now.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for Vettel, because he has been signed up for Red Bull.
Before, we questioned why, as this was such an obvious decision, it didn't happen before, and it wasn't announced immediately after Coulthard was decided to retire and Weber was announced. It's obvious now, isn't it? Because we're in Germany.
Yeah.
It is home Grand Prix. It was the perfect time to announce
Coulthard retired in Britain.
Yeah, and Vettel was announced
in Germany.
Perfect.
But also, it means they get two lots of news.
It does.
Lots
it doubles up the PR. Always good.
It's been a bad week for Kurs as employees at the Red Bull factory, including Mark Webber, were evacuated when one of the new Kurs components went up in smoke.
It's not a good start to the new technology. But I couldn't help laughing, because I think it was Dank who originally brought this to our attention. And it was the Milton Keynes Citizen who had the exclusive on this.
Oh, really?
But they finished off their story with a lighthearted quote. It said, "Star Aussie driver Mark Webber was seen looking visibly grumpy."
Well, you would be.
Just sums up Mark Webber, doesn't it? I love it.
You would be if you'd been evacuated.
Well, yeah, it's probably a bit cold. Milton Keynes, middle of summer, it's bound to be freezing.
It's been a good week for Singapore as the teams approve of the track. 8 out of the 10 teams sent representatives to a lighting test last week and all came back feeling much happier about things. Just McLaren and Ferrari were absent.
Doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. What were they going to do if the teams didn't like it? Let's be honest, they're stuck with it. That's what it is.
But they like it, so it's all good.
Oh, great. Thumbs up all round then. I like it too. Not make any difference?
It's been a bad week for Abu Dhabi, though, because they are considering major changes to the design of their F1 track. Same location, different concept. They haven't even built it yet.
Taking a look at Singapore, or maybe Valencia. Someone's been having a look around at the tracks coming this year, and they know all the pressure's going to be on them as the single entrant next year, and they're thinking, it's not good enough, is it? We've looked around our track. We're going to have to do better.
News and views.
Although we just said that Kurs is prone to go up in smoke, some of the teams are testing it successfully.
BMW, big news this week.
Yes.
They've successfully tested it in a private test.
Yep.
And they're so confident they're going to take it to Jerez next week when all the teams are getting together for a public test.
Is it the first public appearance of such technology?
Well, we thought, and there were rumours abound, that Honda were running it at Silverstone on day one of the recent test, because that Honda sounded rough.
Definitely sounded different.
So the question is, if the BMW sounds a little bit weird, that would kind of confirm our suspicions of the Honda. So it's possible that Honda have already run it in public and BMW might be the second team. But we just don't know. It's all a bit secretive.
The member of the BMW Board of Management who is responsible for development, Klaus Dräger.
Know him well.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
No. He said, the Kurs unit designed for the BMW Sauber F109 is a highly effective variant of brake energy regeneration technology and is similar in the way it works to active hybrid technologies developed for BMW standard production vehicles. I don't really know what that means. Sounds good, though.
BMW have been plugging efficient dynamics on their cars and on their F1 website this year. And I believe that's in some way related to it. There is a visual diagram or some kind of video on the BMW website. It's supposed to explain how this Kurs efficient dynamics thing works. I left me clueless, to be honest with you. Couldn't make head nor tail of it.
It might explain why they're not doing so well at the moment if they're concentrating that much on 2009.
Development has tailed off a bit.
Mm.
It could be Ferrari's excuse too. I guess. We just don't know.
Then again, it is just a handy excuse to have.
Well, yeah. Yeah, our Cruise device is going really well. Forget our results at the moment. BMW not doing so well in the keeping up stakes of this year's championship.
They're not the only ones bringing new and exciting things to the test, though. It's a four-day test at Jerez next week.
It does say on their website it's a four-day test. That is unusual. Normally it's three.
Yeah, maybe they're already anticipating bad weather.
Yeah, although I thought they stopped that this year, but it does look like they've block-booked 4 days at Jerez.
Should be all 10 teams turning up.
Yep.
Ferrari definitely need to do a lot of work.
Oh, yes.
Honda say they have big plans.
Right.
Even though they said that they didn't.
They did at the beginning of the year. They said we're getting two major updates throughout this 2008 season.
Yeah.
They've had those, and they're still pushing on.
Hmm. And Force India, they should be bringing in the new seamless shift gearbox.
Finally.
They reckon it will save them 2 seconds a lap, so Q2.
2 seconds a lap?
Q2, here we come.
What kind of seamless shift gearbox is that?
I don't know.
They never said 2 seconds a lap. That's ridiculous. It might do. They must have a really slow gearbox if that's the case. That's quite an improvement.
Qualifying.
Before we get on to qualifying, there's just a few events from Friday that we wanted to mention. In free practice, Kubica made a mistake.
Yes, all of his own accord. He apparently broke down some water.
Yeah.
Made a bit of a mess of his car.
It was a bit wet out there.
But it dried. Well, Friday first practice.
Yeah.
It did start off quite wet, but it dried significantly before the end.
Mm-hmm. I was impressed by how quickly they fixed it to get him out in the second session.
I don't know. Massa was in more of a state at Silverstone, wasn't he? Free practice one.
Yeah, I guess so. The
Ferrari guys had a bigger job on their hands. It was okay. It was doable. It never looked like they'd struggle too much.
Hamilton dominated Friday completely.
Yes. Wet, dry, sun, clouds, whatever. He was fast.
Heikki was good on Saturday in the morning, but then Lewis didn't really have a good go at a time, so I imagine that he might have done that.
Yeah, he did go back in the garage and he wasn't up for the fight there, so yeah, he let Heikki have that one, shall we say.
Therefore, it's not really a surprise that he was on pole.
No.
Although it was surprising that he chose the medium compound.
Not getting on with the soft, with McLaren. A couple of the teams ran the softer ones to quite useful times.
Mm-hmm.
Heikki, not really with it, was he? He was off the track a lot.
Yeah, but then he wasn't the only one. It seemed like a lot of the drivers were complaining about wind.
Yeah, he always seemed to have dust flying at the back of him.
Yeah.
Every time we saw him, there was on that specific
corner where they all ran wide.
Yeah, on the way into the stadium section.
Always a bit of dust.
Yeah, and also the last corner as well. He took a lot of curb and a lot of grass each time he went around there. So not impressive from Covey.
Still, somewhat thankfully for them, there weren't that many people there to see them. The grandstands were really empty.
It's a big place.
Yeah.
But without Schumacher, well, even with Schumacher, because he was on the grandstands, but without Schumacher dominating, the crowds have tailed off.
But there are five drivers.
German drivers?
Yeah.
Well, one suspect.
Well,
because, Rosberg, is he German? Isn't he German? But still, four German drivers and still a small crowd. Because none of them are winning. That's the thing, isn't it? It's you've got to be winning races and going for a world championship, as Fernando Alonso showed with the Spanish crowd, because Pedro de la Rosa, he never built up a following in Spain.
No.
Alonso wins two world championships, you can't get enough of him.
And Hamilton in Britain.
Exactly. In Germany, it was a mediocre turnout. Certainly for free practice, there was hardly anybody there. Qualifying was okay, and there was more for the race, but it certainly wasn't a sellout by any means.
Maybe the people were scared off by the colours, because there was one section of grandstand where each little bit was coloured a different colour and it was quite clashing.
They do that. It doesn't look pretty.
No.
It looks very old. It gave it like a 70s washed out.
I was praying for more people to turn up so we didn't have to see the colours.
Just the crowd in the seats. I really liked what the Mercedes stand did.
Mm.
Was it on the warm-up lap? The outlap? The initial warm-up lap of the race?
Yeah.
When they held up those white boards and spelled out Lewis and Heikki?
Yes.
That's really nice because it's a nice grandstand. Mercedes obviously put a lot of money into that one. The best looking grandstand there. And all the fans, they did a really good job there. I bet the drivers driving along, which I thought was quite nice.
Highly organised.
Yeah, it didn't work perfectly, but no. It was quite...
Some people out of position.
Yeah. No, I think it was, I think as Lewis and Heikki came around that corner, they would have really liked it and all the other drivers would have groaned, which, that's what you want, isn't it?
For some reason, I had it in my head that the last time we were at Hockenheim was 2005.
That was before you were paying attention.
Yeah.
But
apparently it was 2006 when I was paying attention, but clearly I wasn't.
Do you have a long-term memory problem?
I have both memory problems.
It was definitely 2006 we were last here, but I tell you what, I like having this year off. Yeah, I think it's like a 1 year on, 1 year off. It's nice to come back. Mm. The alternating between the Nürburgring and Hockenheim, that works quite well. We're going to alternate between Suzuka and Fuji.
Yep.
And that'll be nice. Potentially in the future, we might have to alternate between Catalunya and Valencia.
Yeah.
I quite like the going away and having a break and then coming back again.
Well,
it works for me.
For me, with my memory problems, it's like a brand new circuit.
Right.
Every time.
Like you've never been there before.
Yeah. Qualifying wasn't that unusual. Nothing too surprising, except maybe Trulli and Alonso doing quite well.
Yes, Alonso did well.
But we did have a lot of blocking going
it's
on.
It's a thin and narrow track, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it can be difficult to keep out of other drivers' way. Piquet accused Fizzy of blocking him.
I think so.
Or I think it was, or was it Vettel in the pits? Yeah, it was Vettel in the pits. He didn't like, I think there was an issue there. And
right.
He blamed that on his slow run. But there was no penalty handed out to Vettel, who did really well.
Yes. No, it was Fizzy and Kubica, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and nothing happened about that because Kubica was told on the radio that actually he nothing to do with the blocking. It wasn't Fizzy's fault at all. Kubica was just slow, which is nice to hear from your pit man
on
your radio.
Slow.
You weren't held up. That's your pace.
And if Kubica was being told he was slow, imagine what Heidfeld was being told.
Yes. Dear Mr. Heidfeld, your qualifying woes are not over. Despite what you may think, you haven't sorted it out. You still have tyre warm-up issues and your teammate blitzed you in qualifying. You didn't see the top 10, did you?
It was 12th, I think, wasn't it?
Something like that. And you couldn't have been very impressed. Got to be 10.
We have to take a short break now, but we'll be back with your predictions, our race review, and a Fantasy Races update. Did you know that SidePodcast puts out two versions of this show? One is an MP3 file playable on almost all music players. The other we call the Enhanced Podcast. This works best on iPods, iTunes, and other Apple solutions and includes images, chapters for quick navigation, and links to the stuff we're talking about. Visit sidepodcast.com/feeds for more information. We think we had some predictions via voicemail today or yesterday.
Yeah.
But we're not sure because they sort of came out like...
You're going to carry on with that?
Good, isn't it?
Well, one of them went on for about 3.5 minutes like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Skype appears to have let us down slightly. And we know one of the messages was from Jordan.
Yes.
We're not entirely sure who. I think it was two other ones from new callers we hadn't had before.
Right.
They didn't work. So we do apologise. And we have absolutely no idea what those predictions might be, and we can't hazard a guess. So do apologise, Jordan, and whoever else called into our Skype line. I presume it's not completely broken, although you may like to give it a try. 012128 track. Give us a call and just tell us if our voicemail is actually working, because we think it's broken.
Nice plug there.
Yeah.
Going with the odds, I would say they predicted Hamilton on top, because we had 12 predictions, including me and you,
yeah.
On the blog.
On live commenting.
Yes. And 9 of them had Hamilton for the win.
Yes. Bit of a whitewash on that one then.
Yeah. 2 of them had Massa and Steve in the UK had Trulli.
He's an optimist.
Absolutely.
I admire that in a person.
It's very good.
First race win for Trulli there. Yeah. No, second race win for Trulli. Do apologise.
It didn't happen though.
No.
Nowhere near. Anyway, most of the predictions were a mixture of Hamilton, Massa, Raikkonen or Kubica.
Right. That was a general consensus. Kubica?
Kovalainen.
Kovalainen.
I know.
It's an optimistic bunch if they think Trulli's going to win and Kubica's going to get in the podium.
Sorry, Kovalainen.
Yeah, okay. So tell me, who did you have there? Because that's really important.
I had Hamilton, Alonso, Kovalainen.
Wow. So you actually pitched for somebody this week?
Yeah.
That's very brave of you. I'm quite impressed. I thought you'd get away with it.
I gave it some thought as
well.
You
were wrong.
Well, yeah.
You know, well done. Okay.
What about you then?
Hamilton, Massa, Raikkonen.
You were wrong too.
Yeah, but you know, I normally have a go. I'm not important, but what you think is important to all the listeners.
So 9 out of 12 people were right, because Hamilton was just mega fast.
Yeah.
Just unbeatable.
All weekend, not just the race.
Yeah.
At no point did he look like slowing down at all. Nothing disturbed him, nothing got really in his way. Safety car came out, wasn't bothered.
Kept his head down.
Blindingly fast, opening laps. Absolutely astonishingly fast. I mean, pulled
out
a lead.
We just assumed he was on a 3-stopper, because how could you be that fast?
Yeah, it was lightning quick compared to everybody else, and there was nobody out there with an answer to him. So all credit to Hamilton. That was his race without question.
Especially compared to Kovalainen. How embarrassing.
His worst race for a very long time. He may have had worse at Renault. Possibly his very first race of all time in Formula 1 wasn't stellar, but he got thrashed by his teammate.
Yeah.
And it's quite embarrassing. And by now, he should have the legs on that McLaren.
Well, the thing is, he keeps saying, yeah, I'm about used to the car now. It's taken me a while to get in and get settled. But I'm there now. I'm going to get better.
Yep.
Really? When's that going to happen?
Fastest car on the grid. Fastest car on the grid. He qualifies third.
Yeah.
So he's already down a place.
Yeah.
He finishes fifth. So he loses two more. And that's completely unacceptable, especially because he wasn't stacked in the pits during the safety car. He had an entire free pit box all to himself.
Yeah.
He still had no pace. And that's just shameful.
Kubica had a great start.
Yeah, lightning.
He I think he made up maybe a place on the actual start, and then he overtook two people at the hairpin.
Yes, he passed. Was it Raikkonen on the start he was behind?
Maybe.
Yeah, and then he took, would have been Trulli and Alonso.
Yeah.
While they were napping. He did a Heidfeld.
Yeah.
On them. That BMW is getting quite good at passing two cars in one corner.
Massa was all right off the line, but yep. Then he fell back a little bit towards Kovalainen.
Keep up with Hamilton.
Well, who could?
No, really. You can't hold that against the guy.
Coulthard had a terrible start. He got pushed wide at the hairpin and loads of people went flying past him.
Yes. I'm not entirely sure it was his fault he got pushed wide. And he's just in the wrong place at the wrong time with no grip.
He seemed to have a lot of issues with Hondas today. He almost ran into Button and then obviously the Barrichello thing.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when we were worried about the state of Jensen's car just because Coulthard was within the proximity of him.
Yes.
And then he ended up near Barrichello and it came to pass that they should crash.
The magnet effect.
Neither are blaming each other.
No, they're all very gentlemanly and nice.
It was Coulthard's fault.
Barrichello says he was unlucky.
It was Coulthard's fault.
He was unlucky in the fact that he was near Coulthard.
Right. Oh, I see. Is that what he said?
Yeah. No, well, he didn't say that. Right. I said that.
Yeah. Coulthard turned in on him again. How many times is it going to happen, really?
How many times before he realises he might be doing something wrong?
Yeah. He's going to stand up and take the blame and say, oh, actually. I mean, he might argue that it was his corner and Barrichello came back at him, but at the same time, he should have given the guy more space.
They're called mirrors.
They're called mirrors. And you should be able to hear another engine. I mean, those engines are loud enough. You should be able to hear a second engine coming at him. Maybe he's gone deaf in his old age.
Alonso was trying to get past Trulli at the start, which is fine because, you know, who wants to get stuck in the Trulli train?
Yep.
But whenever Alonso is trying to get past someone, he just screws it up and lets other people past him. It's happened so many times this year.
The only thing I could say, I can't even say. Well, I mean, the thing is, he didn't lose touch with Trulli in this race. Whereas in France, you always thought he was going to overtake Trulli but couldn't keep up. And this time, at least he was on his tail for most of the time.
But the thing is, I mean, he screwed up and let Raikkonen past him twice. It was like the same incident twice in the race.
I guess that's true. There's not a lot really to commend about his race today. He was shown up by his teammate who qualified a long, long way behind him. He spun right near the end. And he didn't really have a good stop at all. It was, you know, nothing went his way. Didn't have a lot of pace, couldn't overtake anybody he wanted to, and just fell backwards and backwards. Vettel did push him, which was quite cheeky, in the pit lane when he pushed him out onto the white line.
Yeah.
But luckily no penalty was handed out, but I think it frustrated him a lot having that happen to him. Maybe he felt a penalty should have been awarded.
But do you find that he just gets frustrated too
easily?
A
lot, yes.
I mean, I can understand why that's frustrated, but he gets frustrated sitting behind a car,
he does.
Driving a car, anything.
Following any kind of rear wing, it does seem to get to him. Not good.
No.
Nope.
Talking of people spinning, Nakajima was the first one.
Yeah.
To have a little excursion.
Although, all credit to the drivers. First corner was clean. First lap was clean.
Yeah.
It was quite a while before Nakajima finally spun it. He was the first man to do it, I think. First man we saw.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great race.
No. Nico had an okay early part of the race, but then it just went downhill. But he did finish five places ahead of Nakajima, so...
Yeah.
About 20 seconds up the road.
Probably got the best out of that Williams. And they did say they're going to do more development on the car this year, but it isn't showing through yet.
Glock appeared to have a great strategy.
Running long.
It was working well because he went long and then he was up to, I think, third.
Yeah.
Until his first pit stop. But then, obviously, after the pit stop, he had the mega crash.
Yeah. No one's saying what happened there as yet. Toyota won't be drawn into any...
Some kind of failure. That's what we know.
At the rear of the car.
Yeah.
That followed the pit stops, but may or may not have been related.
It can't have been too bad because they didn't seem worried for Trulli.
No, they said they pulled him in and they checked the car over. They had a good look at it.
Ah, and it was okay.
They felt it was safe to go. And it was. He completed the race okay. So presumably it was one component failure. It was a one-off. But it was a shame because he did haul himself back into contention by qualifying for Glock. Pulled himself back into the race with a good strategy and it all went wrong. A bit of a shame.
Safety car deployed. Much irritation for the drivers.
Much fun for us though.
Oh, it's not fun. I can't keep up. I mean, it turned the race around, obviously.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that, but I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
The pit stop, it didn't make sense to... Well, Jensen Button didn't make sense to me.
That was the thing. Button was sat in second. Why didn't he overtake
When the message that lapped cars can overtake was shown. Yeah, I think this probably needs a blog post and probably it have to do a little bit more investigation into it.
Some research.
Just before we really commit. But I think what happened is it was a Braun strategy call, similar to what he did in Canada when he called Button in when the safety car was first deployed, changed the tyres because Button was having an issue on the softer tyres. No fuel. Send the guy out again. That would have put him back on the train. And on the assumption that all the cars in front of him pitted, which would have been the norm, and as what happened in Canada, that would send him to the front, safety car would have let him go, and he would have been back behind everybody. It would have all worked out well.
And he would have been on the lap.
What went wrong was Lewis Hamilton didn't pit. McLaren didn't call him in, as every other team called every other driver in Ferrari, stacked their cars. McLaren only brought in Covey.
Right.
And that left Button stuck behind Hamilton.
So
and presumably,
he wasn't lapped at that point then?
No, he was a lap down, but the problem was he wasn't a lap down when the safety car came out. He was only a lap down because he went to the pits and poured himself a lap down by changing his tyres.
Right. Yeah, blog post definitely needed.
I can see what Braun was trying to do. He was trying to do exactly the same thing again, get Jensen off of the annoying tyres as quickly as possible. He probably didn't need fuel. He would have needed to stop again, but later on, similar probably to a strategy along the lines of Nick Heidfeld's. Get rid of the damn tyres that he didn't like, jump him up the order, and Hamilton screwed it for him.
Post-race, Fisichella was penalised, 25-second.
Yes. I thought I had this sussed until Alianora pointed out in the comments that it wasn't quite as clear-cut as Button's, but I think he did a similar thing and pitted at the same time as Button.
Yeah.
Changed tyres, didn't take on fuel, potentially could have stopped at the same time as Nick Heidfeld did.
Yeah.
Went round the track. Lewis Hamilton, again, didn't pit.
Yeah.
When the message came that lapped cars could overtake, Fissy did. And he shouldn't have.
He wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, presumably Braun was more on it than Mike Gascoigne. And Mike Gascoigne told Fissy.
I should think so.
Yeah, you'd expect that, obviously. So Mike Gascoigne told Fissy to overtake, and he did.
He wasn't allowed to.
He wasn't supposed to, because he wasn't allowed down when the safety car came out, I think. And then at the end of the race, he got penalised 25 seconds.
Yeah, which dropped him from 14th to 17th.
Not the end of the world in the scheme of things.
No, but he did actually finish in front of Button.
Okay, even after the penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, Button's race was absolutely stuffed.
Yes.
To be honest with you, if I was him and that had happened, I'd have just brought it into the garage and saved me engine and just given up, I think.
Hamilton, Heidfeld and Piquet didn't pit. Piquet didn't need to because he was on a one-stopper and he'd already come in.
Yes.
Which is so lucky.
Really, really lucky. If that safety car came out one lap before, his race would have been over or he would have had to have a drive-through or it would have all gone to pieces.
Which is why all the drivers are complaining because it's a complete lottery.
It is, but really when it falls your way, it really falls your way, doesn't it? And it did for Nelson Piquet.
Yeah. Even if they had have pitted Hamilton like they should have done, he would still have had to have overtaken Piquet then, wouldn't he?
And Nick, although he could have just sat and waited for Nick to finally make his last stop. But there would have been some overtaking, obviously, because Nelson was on that one stopper.
Right, but it wouldn't have been a problem for him.
And nothing was.
Super
let's
fast
be honest.
Hamilton.
What would have been a problem for him today? I can't think of anything that would have stopped him.
So at the end of the race, there's video footage, isn't there?
Yeah.
Of Hamilton talking to Norbert Haug, is it?
Oh, credit to Axis of Oversteer for this one.
Yeah.
Because he says, this is just before going out on the podium ceremony.
Yeah.
He slaps Norbert Haug on the back and says, you trying to make it difficult for me?
And he says, no, it was just a mistake.
Ooh. You don't want to go admitting mistakes in McLaren?
No.
Oh, they'll be hell to pay for that. There'll be an audio glitch or something. It was a microphone picked up a word that wasn't said. It was an overdub by some nasty person. He didn't really say mistake. It was a mistake, though, wasn't it?
Of course.
It wasn't the right strategy. It made things a lot more difficult. Let's blame the guys in Woking for that one. Because Ron said at the end of the day, I think it may have been in the press release or may have been in an interview, that it was the guys in Woking. They have a team sat there looking at the race strategy. They get the race feed. I don't think they watch ITV.
At the factory?
Yeah, it's not. They're not listening to James and Martin. Well, they might be, but I think they get an exclusive feed.
Why do they get a say in anything?
They've been doing it for a while. I think the first time we heard about it was at Monaco. Was it last year or the year before when a strange call came through from the pit wall and it turns out that the guys in Woking were spot on and Ron trusted them. He gave them the entire decision.
Why are they even talking to them?
Because they're not at the race and they're not stressed and they're calm. They're like
That's
chilled
ridiculous.
Out and they have more data and they can just like have a...
Well, why doesn't Ron stay in the factory then?
Because he wouldn't be on TV. It's a good idea. It's worked before. And they obviously have an awful lot of trust in the guys and the information they have. And they said, stay out. And it was a wrong decision. But Lewis managed to get them out of a very big hole by driving incredibly well and overtaking some people.
Now comes the tricky part of the podcast. Kimi Raikkonen, discuss. That's what it says in my show notes.
Right. Well.
Yes, exactly.
His teammate outshone him.
Yep. That's the first thing.
But he found some pace in the very, very late stages.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone is saying, he doesn't look bothered. I think maybe he's just lost interest in it all.
Yeah.
Which is, you can sort of see that. I can understand that. But in the last lap, in the last couple of laps, he passed Rosberg, Alonso, Vettel, Trulli, and Kubica.
Yes.
Wow.
There's no stopping the guy. The only thing I can think, and it's a long shot, because the track temperature didn't increase. But what did happen was more and more rubber went down on the track.
Yeah.
So maybe the Ferrari is more sensitive to how much grip there is out there. And because it rained on Friday, because the track was greasy, because it didn't really rubber until Saturday, it took for almost the entire length of the race for the Ferrari to come good.
Yeah, but Massa wasn't struggling.
Well, no.
So unless it was a setup on Raikkonen's car particularly.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be that. But Massa didn't get quicker, did he? He almost got slower.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't overtake six or seven people in the closing stages. He only needed to overtake one person, really, in the closing stages.
He just needed to hold one person up.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even manage that.
He couldn't even do that. It all came down to Piquet.
You know things are bad when it all rests on Piquet.
Well, here's the thing, right? Massa is fighting a championship with Hamilton.
Yeah.
He should have put up a bigger fight. Well, he should have put up a fight against Massa. Because he shouldn't have opened the door and just let the guy through. Gave him a free ticket and a free pass. Piquet, on the other hand, he just wants a good finish. And therefore, there's no point fighting.
He wasn't going to argue because he wanted that second place.
Absolutely. And consolidating second was the right thing to do. And he probably could have done with Massa and Hamilton either tangling or at least holding each other up for a bit, and he could have gone for the win.
Yeah.
Which is probably slightly disappointing when he saw Hamilton bearing down on him, but it probably wasn't that surprising.
I'll tell you what it looked like to me, though. Massa was trying to hold him up.
Was he?
Couldn't do it. Actually didn't have the
ability. Yeah.
Whereas Piquet, you know, he had a go and then he thought, actually,
this is not,
you know, this isn't my fight.
Yes. No, that's a good way of putting it.
Whereas Massa just seemed
ran out of talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't in the best car, Massa, and he did bring it home third, which was ahead of Raikkonen.
Absolutely.
Who is the reigning world champion. So you can't criticise him too much, but we held off from laying into him at Silverstone because we thought he had a one-off bad race. That performance was less than useless. I mean, it was marginally better than Kovalainen's. But in the car that he was in, he should have been able to do more. He should have put up more of a fight.
It's interesting, actually, because at Silverstone, Raikkonen was okay and Massa couldn't keep it on the track.
No.
And this time round, it's the other way around. Massa was fine and Raikkonen was struggling. It's like one way or the other.
Yes. Well, it wasn't raining, which plays into Massa's hands a little bit.
They must have completely different setups on their car.
Possibly. Yeah. They're two different people, clearly. But I don't know. The guy's not impressing us. I mean, neither of the Ferrari drivers at the moment look like they're in it for the World Championship today. It's Hamilton's to lose. Who's going to really take it to him? Massa? He hasn't got it in him. Kimi, you're right, he does look bored. He doesn't look like he's got the fire in his belly at the moment. And Ferrari, they're not keeping up with the development.
Raikkonen didn't get his seventh fastest lap in a row.
I said on the comments, on live commenting, that I think we... Or even I am more bothered about that statistic than Kimi.
Yeah, we were quite excited about it, but...
Well, it was quite exciting when he had four, and it looked like he was getting close.
You've been talking about it for weeks.
I just don't think he cared in the end. I mean, Nick Heidfeld, fastest lap.
Yeah, it's interesting, because he's got two now out of the season, Kovalainen's got two.
Yeah, from early on in the season.
And Raikkonen has six, obviously.
Yeah.
But Hamilton and Massa, none.
No. And between them, they've both had the fastest cars in various races.
They keep on winning.
Yep.
They're at the head of the championship. No fastest laps.
That is unusual.
That's weird.
Michael Schumacher wouldn't have had that. He'd have had pole, fastest lap and race win, or he wouldn't have been happy. And both Lewis and Massa seem just to be happy to bag the points, which in the end, that's all that counts. But it's surprising that none of them have managed to get fastest lap.
I would have thought Hamilton would be right up there.
Yeah.
Because he's super fast compared to everyone else, but apparently not.
Gave the fastest lap to Nick Heidfeld. That is unusual.
Talking of Heidfeld, he must have had a brilliant strategy. I mean, I didn't see him for most of the race, really.
As per normal.
Yeah. It's like he started 12th, then he disappeared, then he turned up in 4th.
He's Mr. 4th. He really is.
Yeah.
Certainly most of last year it was very good. It's a shame that he couldn't pull out more of a lead in the closing stages. The car wasn't quite quick enough. But he did his best. And it was a good ending, really.
Kubica, meanwhile, went backwards. He had a great start, then went backwards.
He said on the radio he thought it was tyre pressure issues, which would explain why he got a better start than everybody else. If his tyres were over or underinflated in some way compared to everybody else, he might have got better grip on the first couple of laps. And as the tyres heated up, he lost that or gained something and something went wrong.
Don't tell me the people got on the radio and said, no, it's not tyre issues, you're just slow.
I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah, probably. They certainly did. they're pretty mean, those people. I don't know what the issue is, but somehow he starts off with a really fast car and he gets slower and slower and slower. And whatever he's doing, it's not working at the moment.
All eyes are on Vettel at the moment, obviously.
Home Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And with the contract.
Yeah. And so with Coulthard crashing everywhere, Vettel actually did really well.
He
considering
did.
He's the one he's going to replace. The thing I like most is that it seems like he really enjoyed his day.
Yeah.
He really likes scrapping for 1 point.
Wow, 1 point's big news to him. Yeah. And as he pointed in the post-race press release.
It's easy for you to say.
He said he was really impressed with that because nobody in front of him retired.
Yes.
Which is a good point.
They got that on merit.
Very, very much on merit. He was the best placed RB4 with Webber having reliability issues. Of course, I crashing, and Lecce being slow.
Bourdais. What can we say about him?
What do you want to say about him?
Not much, really. He did well to finish in front of Coulthard. That's about it.
I don't really have any defence for him.
He messed up in qualifying and then didn't make up for it. That's the problem.
Yeah. Qualifying was a big lock-up when it really mattered. Didn't pull it out of the bag when he needed to. And Vettel outshot him all weekend.
Can I just mention, while we're talking about Vettel... in F1 racing this month, there's an article about the charity football match that takes place in Monaco, I think. And there's a great paragraph which describes how the F1 drivers work together as a team.
Right.
And it reveals some personality traits as well. My favourite bit, Sebastian Vettel is all gangly legs, galloping around the field and causing chaos wherever he treads. On one occasion, to the amusement of the crowd, he even kicks the ball into his own face.
You can see that.
Yeah.
You can see that.
Yeah.
Aww.
How cute is that? Back to the engines, though. Webber's Renault engine blew up.
Don't think this is Renault's fault. In the post-race press release, that word
again. You got it that time.
I'm yedding it right. Webber said it was something to do, or was it one? Was it the team boss? Somebody said it was something to do with oil cooling system breakage due to a pickup of debris, which might have been pieces of Glock.
Yes.
So if presumably you punched in the radiator... And that's why one of the banks went. I thought he should have probably pulled over a lot sooner.
Yeah, he just kept going round and round with all this smoke pouring out of the back.
It was never going to get any better. As soon as he put the power down, it was going to explode. And so he should have pulled it over and parked it.
It's his first mechanical failure this year, though.
That's quite good for him.
Only his second retirement of the whole season, which is impressive for Webber.
Yeah, I think we should pay homage to the Red Bull gearbox this year. We haven't mentioned it much because it hasn't gone wrong much. And that makes a big change from 2007 when it was the hot topic of the year. Certainly the hot topic of the Red Bull team.
And of Side Podcast.
Yes. And this year, it's been stable. It's been solid. And the Renault engine gave up in one of the cars. And two drivers gave up in two of the other cars. And Vettel really held the RB4 together.
After the McLaren mistake, Hamilton had to make his way through the crowd again. And he first came across Kovalainen.
How unfortunate.
Yeah, and he got through a bit too easily.
Team orders.
Yeah.
I'll just come out and say it.
Yeah.
It looked like blatant team orders.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know that some teams do that sometimes, but do they have to be so obvious about it?
He could have put up a fight, couldn't he?
Yeah, just a little
bit. He gave up. That's the main reason why I thought that Ron... I mean, before the pass, Ron was seen on the pit wall talking... Well, pressing the high key switch.
Pressing some radio buttons.
And looking a bit guilty, it has to be said.
Yeah.
And the way high key gave that place, it wasn't particularly subtle. And in the post-race press conference, Hamilton wasn't particularly clued up on exactly what had happened and almost at one point pretended that he didn't know it was high key he was passing.
Well, no, he did say he wanted to thank high key for letting him have a faster car.
No, for appreciating that he had a faster car.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a shame from Heike's point of view. He didn't come out of that looking particularly great. If it was team orders, he made it look too obvious. If it wasn't team orders, he made himself look really poor. I think.
Yeah. On the blog, LeBOL spotted a Ron quote. It's a joy to have two drivers who are not only super competitive but also super cooperative.
Yeah, I bet he loves that. The thing is, look what happened to David Coulthard and Mika Häkkinen in the same team. David yielded to Mika It was never really the same after that. He never really got the his championship on track as a result of it. And I suspect even though he says he doesn't, I'm sure he did, to a certain part of him, regrets that now. And maybe Heike will be the same.
Either way, Hamilton would have got past anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was super fast and dominating the whole weekend.
Yeah. There was no reason not to fight for that position. And he would have still made it with ease.
Yeah.
He obviously didn't at that point know that Massa was just going to...
hand it to him.
Well, yeah. Wave him by. But, yeah.
Maybe he thought he saw a blue flag. Maybe something happened.
He saw a lot of them at Silverstone.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the race, though?
Yeah, it was good. The first part wasn't so good, but then once the safety car came out, it all got a bit mixed up.
Yeah.
Different strategies and stuff.
I thought, there was a bit of overtaking. We saw, a few overtakes. It was dry.
Yeah.
So that's unusual. It's not a great circuit for overtaking. I thought it was a good race, all in all. I think we've been spoiled this year. We've had all sorts of good races, loads of variety. The season just keeps getting better and better.
We'll get on to the fantasy races update momentarily. But first, Steve in the UK had a little bit of a moan.
He didn't have a moan.
He did.
He mentioned a subject.
Well, he left a comment and it said, I didn't join the fantasy races till just before the second race, but too late for my team racing for last to get any points from that race. If I hadn't missed out on the points from the first two races, I would now have 4,385 points, which would have put me first in the Side Podcast League.
Wow.
And second overall.
That's impressive.
So, instead of my team being a complete failure and being at totally the wrong end of the table from where it was meant to be, i.e. last, I'm stuck in the middle at 62nd.
Yep.
And 947th, so my team doesn't get any coverage for being either first or last. If you want to get publicity in F1, you have to be either first or last. So from a marketing point of view, Sutil is probably getting his team far more publicity per $1 million than any of the midfield drivers are getting for their teams. How many times does Sutil and Force India get mentioned on sidepodcast.com compared to Nakajima and Williams? How many of you even remembered that Nakajima was still in F1?
We mentioned Nakajima more than... Oh, you haven't mentioned Sutil today. So
we did briefly, I think.
I remember we mentioned Nakajima.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we try and be quite fair, but...
He has a point, though, because in fantasy races, we normally only read out the top five.
No, that's not true.
Right?
That isn't true. Well, firstly, Racing for Last got a mention a couple of weeks ago.
We said he had good karma.
Yeah,
because he was on the cycle road.
He got the most points of that week.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I look through and I see who's risen the most, who's fallen the most, who's got the most points.
Very defensive.
Well, I am, because I prepare this coverage quite carefully.
Except for last week
when I got it wrong. Yeah.
Apart from that. I think he has a point, though, because if you are in the middle and you don't go up and you don't go down, you don't excel at all, you may never get a mention.
I'm not sure about that, because things like the checkered flag, they run through the whole... list of drivers.
Not in fantasy races, though. I'm talking about fantasy races.
Yeah, but he's not. He's also talking about Nakajima.
Right. Well, here's the thing, right? This is my plan for fantasy races, because I kind of agree with him a little bit. And if you don't do anything spectacular, you may not get a mention. So what I'm going to do is just pick a random couple of teams and just mention them and just say how they did after you do your top five rundown. Is that all right?
Fine. In 5th place, DP Racer with 4585. In 4th, Shimano XC with 4589. In 3rd, Jordan F1, 4609. In 2nd, we have Fledglings with 4748. And 1st is Scuderia Bigotes with 4831. Kubica remains the most efficient driver for his money, but he's being swiftly caught by Trulli, Heidfeld and Webber. In the Side Podcast League, sleep drivers fell the most, 14 places down, followed by Cryptic Delirium Racing and Team GBC, who both fell 10 places. Rhino Formula 1 rose by 16 places, and Dossier What Dossier and the Nebuchadnezzar both rose by 11. Drivers United got the most points, 568, compared to me on 311 and you on 521. You were a bit closer than I was.
I had a pretty good week, didn't I? That was quite good. Just a couple of random teams for you.
Because I didn't mention enough there.
No.
I'm just saying.
Personally, just a couple of random teams out of the hat. We've got Fun Intended, got 394 points, and they went for some expensive drivers with just Kimi, Lewis and Mark. That's a risky strategy. Smurfs Anonymous went for exactly the same strategy. So popular, but again, risky.
Popular, but risky.
Yep. Flying Haggis, despite being Scottish, didn't go for Coulthard. Instead went for Kimi, Nick, Nico and Leseb. Now in 91st place. And almost in my sights.
Really?
And final team for you. Rich, with his team Sandbaggin, is one place ahead of you. He's in 118th. While Lynch Mob is one place ahead of me.
Yeah, I went down.
You dropped?
119th now.
Wait, see, you were catching me, but...
Not now.
Jump right ahead there.
Feedback. We've had a couple of emails this week. The first one came to me today, being Sunday. It says, what a race. Brill. Great drive by Lewis. Nelson's backside possibly saved. Also looks like there could be three Sebastians next season as the rumour mill has started about Buemi moving from GP2 to the vacant Toro Rosso seat next year. Keep up the good work, Keith in Sussex.
He was at Goodwood.
Who?
Buemi.
Oh, right. I thought you meant Keith then. How'd you know that?
I don't know where Keith was. Buemi was at Goodwood, wasn't he, driving for Red Bull?
I believe so.
And where do we think he's going to go? BMW test driver or something else?
Well, Keith says Toro Rosso.
Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
Okay. So not Senna.
Isn't the talk that Senna may want a test role first?
Right.
Not quite good enough yet.
Not ready.
Or not experienced enough yet.
I would go so far to say never good enough.
Oh, really?
What I've seen, well, I don't know. Like I said before, every time I've seen him, he's been in the pits with a broken car.
Ah.
So I don't know whether it's all his fault or whether he's just very unlucky.
I haven't seen his work, so
I don't need GP2. I can't really cast aspersions. But Buemi, three Sebastians. Well, that's not going to get confusing at all. Is his with an A or an E?
I believe it's with an E.
Yes. Mm. So like Sebastian Bourdais.
Yes.
Like Sebastian. That works really well.
Brilliant.
the flaw in that three Sebastian name thing.
Yeah.
Is that's assuming that Bourdais keeps his job.
That's true.
Which isn't necessarily a given. Could be Senna and Buemi in Toro Rosso.
I had another email telling you off. I like emails like that.
What have I done?
Says, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Christine. Been a listener to Side Podcast for some time now, and for the last two races, it's been my default source for news regarding race results, as I've not been able to watch the races, so for that, I thank you.
No problem.
I do, however, have one complaint.
Oh, go on.
During episode...
I love an email that starts off with a compliment, then the complaint. Go on.
It's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
During episode 69, when discussing the poor quality grandstands at Silverstone, Mr. Christine said, I hope that Donington will give the English fans something more. Well, I sincerely hope so too, and I hope that as the new home of the British Grand Prix, it will give the Welsh, Irish and Scottish fans something more as well. Please don't think I'm anti-English, because that's simply not true. I just don't like being excluded from anything British. Lewis for the championship. Cheers, Marty from Old Meldrum in Scotland.
Sorry, Marty.
I should think so,
big
too.
Big mistake. Actually, that was the Silverstone episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a long episode, which is no real excuse, but I made a second mistake, which Marty didn't pick up on there. And I think in the press conference... I said the three English drivers, referring to Lewis.
That's terrible.
Button and Coulthard. There's no defence. I'm really, really sorry, and I'll watch it like a hawk in the future. And if I make any more mistakes, just feel free to email and criticise, because I was wrong and you like it.
And the last email for this week. First off, I want to commend and congratulate you and all the staff who make sidepodcast.com run.
That's just me then.
That's just us.
Well, you're being congratulated already.
Yeah.
And I am all the other staff.
You are, that's true.
Okay, well, thanks for that.
I recently discovered it, and it's just a breath of fresh air for us F1-deprived Americans. I'm an avid F1 fan and make it a point to be up at 4:30 in the morning to watch the live feeds from around the globe.
Really?
Other than F1.com, info on F1 is hard to come by in the States. Your site has a much friendlier feel than most other sites that I've been to.
We are quite nice.
And I enjoy the fresh take you provide on news driver info and car developments. The main reason for this email is to see if you can inquire in the F1 community why there is such a lack of coverage about F1 here in the States.
Bernie.
Having lost any type of coverage or news on TV about WRC, F1 is the only racing that I truly enjoy. Yes, I know, it's shocking to hear about an American who doesn't like NASCAR. Maybe you could bug Ernie and tell him...
Bug Ernie?
That's what it says. Bug Ernie. Now, I have two things to say about that. Firstly, does he think we're close friends with Bernie?
And... Oh, no, wait, we are. I bug him most days.
Yep, and secondly...
With the usual phone call.
And secondly, does he think we're friends with Ernie? Anyway.
No, I like Ernie, actually. Can we call him Ernie from now on? He's like the fastest milkman in the West.
Maybe
it's worth a couple of $1 billion. No, that's really good. This is good. I like this. Carry on.
Maybe you could bug Ernie and tell him to realise there are tons of us across the pond who want to see racing at its finest on a more frequent basis. Anytime I find behind-the-scenes footage or driver interviews, I can't help but feel like a schoolboy and crave more.
It's good to hear.
Anyway, thanks for taking the time to read this email, and I look forward to future updates on the site. Keep on keeping on, and I'll see you at the races one day. Respectfully, John Shields.
Well, John, I do apologise that Christine didn't edit your slight typo, because that's a bit mean. I can
but
see
it's
how
brilliant.
You got bug Ernie. Yes.
Bug Ernie.
Apologies for that, John, but know exactly what you mean.
The
it's
thing
hopeless.
Is, we hear from lots of American F1 fans, and, you know, what can we do?
Very little, because Bernie really doesn't listen to me. I ring him incessantly.
Yeah, I know.
He never answers my calls.
Ernie, however. He does.
That milkman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's wrong. We've said before on this podcast that there should be an American Grand Prix. It's disgusting that there isn't an American Grand Prix. We can't understand it. I'm sure the manufacturers can't understand it. The sponsors don't get it. American fans, I'm sure, are completely baffled as to why that's the case. And there's only one man who does understand it, and he's not explaining it.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but we may be getting a show out on a Sunday.
Yeah, we've caught up. We said we would.
Yeah, we're back on track. Woot!
Yes. One thing to mention, just come on the back of the Silverstone podcast that was received quite well, is Alex this week said he really liked the interviews we were doing because he thought that came across much better than the Skype calls. We don't want to deter people from calling us on the Skype line because we love the Skype line. 01212-8-TRACK, by the way. If you haven't called it yet, give us a ring. But we are going to try and do more interviews in the future. So we have two or three scheduled for the next couple of weeks or months. And as soon as we can fit them in, we're going to do that. That's next on our list. Now things are back to normal.
Although technically that's not next on our schedule because next is a mini-series.
It is. I like what you did there.
Yeah. Next week, starting on Thursday.
Now, this was scheduled for a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
We ran out of time.
It all went wrong.
But this time, it's going to happen. So there's not going to be this podcast next week.
Nope.
But do keep your calls coming. Do keep your emails coming. Keep Facebook messages and conversations going. Comments coming on the website. We'll catch up with them the week after next, which is the Hungary Grand Prix.
I believe so.
Just in time for the Hungary Grand Prix.
Yep.
And I'll look forward to your mini-series this week.